It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. I'm Jack Stein. Time for the fastest 15. The fastest 15 minutes in news. Oh, man. Oreo has decided to build an asteroid-proof bunker above permafrost line. What does that mean exactly? Well, you know how there's this there's a place up in the Arctic where they keep a bunch of seeds. It's considered to be like if there was some apocalyptic event that befell the world, the remaining human beings after surviving the Mad Max apocalypse could go and they could get the seeds out of this bunker. It's been there since the 70s, I believe, and it holds all the seeds from all over the world. It's a pretty cool picture of it. So Oreo decided, well, the other thing that people will need in rebuilding civilization is Oreos. So they, they published a video on their YouTube page, and they said they were inspired by the Global Seed Vault in Norway. And it's basically picture perfect of what that vault looks like. It's almost identical, except for it's filled with Oreos and powdered milk. Now, this is a good time to talk about marketing, because what I've seen companies do now, companies that used to be geared towards little kids, children, now what they're trying to do is kind of up their presence with the different demographics. And I think this is an example of that. I think that Oreo or Nabisco, whoever owns them, realizes that there's a certain amount of nostalgia for that childlike wonder that we used to have when we would see Tony the Tiger kick open the door and serve everybody breakfast, or the Kool-Aid man bust in through the wall. But now they say, well, how can we make that for adults? How can we make that for millennials who are now in their 30s and who are horrifically depressed like Jack Stein? Well, we'll talk about Oreos being in a vault up in Norway. And won't that be so funny? Won't that be hilarious? And if you watch the video, it is pretty funny, albeit totally, totally, totally ridiculous. Just completely and totally ridiculous. But I can see why a marketing team would throw that together and say, yeah, let's get this out there to the people. Additionally, and next up in the fastest 15.
Hey, really quick,
Ice Cube.
Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I was just going to say you lost me at powdered milk. Gross.
Yeah, you know, because in the Mad Max apocalypse, mm-hmm. we're going to need mm-hmm. powdered milk, and we're going to need Oreos for all that kind of fun stuff.
I mean, Oreos might make me smile if the time comes, but powdered milk would not. So I'll
who's more
plain.
Likely?
I don't need milk.
Who's more likely to survive the apocalypse, though, Nicole, you or I? Who do you think is more equipped
Ooh.
To handle that?
Well, we haven't known each other for very long, but you've mentioned you've survived the streets, which makes me a little bit like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive to me. But, I'm pretty resourceful. So I wouldn't put it, you know, I'm the type of person that's like, oh, yeah, I'd make it. Like, I'd definitely make it. I'm not the type that would be like, oh, I'd give up. And that, you know, aside from eating bugs, I'd probably... I think if I didn't have to do that, I'd probably make it.
I'm a quitter, so you would totally win. I would just, the second okay. the apocalypse happens, I'm out. I'm done. I don't want to live in a wasteland. I want air conditioning. I want, I want to drive my car. I want to go to Safeway. I want to go to Costco. I don't want to have to scavenge. I don't want to have to be the guy who's moving through the woods, hunting elk and bison dressed in leather. I don't want to be that guy at all. I want to be at home.
Well, I'll recruit
with my
somebody
cat.
To do the dirty work for me for sure. But it would
Slaves.
Be, I'm very competitive.
I believe it. And speaking of competitive, next up, Fastest 15, Ice Cube says he's not playing politics by working with the Trump campaign on the Platinum Plan for Black Americans. I actually was surprised by this, the Platinum Plan. But before we get into that, here's Ice Cube defending his support for Trump. Here he is on Fox.
Over the summer, Cube released a contract with Black America, calling for reforms to close the opportunity gap in this country.
Descendants of slaves, the ones who built this country, are being kind of forgotten in the fray.
Cube brought his contract to the two presidential campaigns. The Biden camp said they wanted to sit down after the election. But President Trump's son-in-law and top advisor Jared Kushner met with him for 3 hours.
They listened, heard what I had to say, and pumped up their plan and presented it to the people on September, I believe, 24th.
We call it the Platinum Plan.
2 weeks ago, Cube praised the president's Platinum Plan to invest $500 billion in black communities.
Democrats, they, you know, they got every black celebrity and shit on their team, so they just figured, you know, tell kids shut the fuck up and vote.
I love the way how he responds to that. It is a really interesting plan. The Platinum Plan would include creating 3 million new jobs. Part of it, though, that some people might have an issue with, I don't, but the elimination of all Confederate statues, federal funding of baby bonds starting at $1,000 at birth, among other reforms to support the black community in order to earn the support of the black vote. I say that's an amazing start. That's an amazing start from Ice Cube to go to President Trump and to go to Jared Kushner and say, my community needs more. My community is lacking, and what are some ways that we could possibly divert federal funding? Since everybody now is getting federal funding, by the way, I know that we like to pretend as people who might consider themselves to be a little bit more conservative or a little bit more on the right or a little bit more independent like myself. We like to pretend like spending matters. But as far as COVID-19 is concerned, it seems as if spending has just gone out the window. $7 trillion, I believe, just this year in borrowing and spending and getting into all that. So if we are going to be just having these massive programs, why not? Why not? Why not try it out? Why not see if that works? So I can also feel for Ice Cube because he's getting a ton of backlash for it. A ton of backlash that he is willing to go out on a limb and go talk to somebody who everybody tells him is a horrible racist, who everybody tells him is a white supremacist, who's an idiot, who's a fool. And he says, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to try to bridge that gap. What bravery, right? What heroism. Now, Ice Cube, not the best guy in the world. Don't get me wrong. Not the best guy in the world as far as some of the other things that he's said, as some of the remarks that he's made about Israel and about Jewish people. Pretty rough. But I can see the nuance in this circumstance of him trying to say, well, you know, Joe Biden didn't want to work with me. Joe Biden didn't want to work with my plan. And so I'm going to go to the guy who I think will work with my plan. And that's what politics should be about, right? I want to make it work. And how do I make this idea that I have work? And speaking of, in the Fastest 15, CNN's Van Jones was also being attacked by liberals for saying that Trump, quote, has done good stuff for the black community and does not get enough credit. Oh, no. Oh, no. How could he possibly hold that opinion? How could he possibly hold that opinion? I am so astonished still that we have what I might like to call the idea police or the opinion police. I don't necessarily want to call them the thought police, but but the opinion police. That if you don't fall into the right opinion, the people on Twitter come after you, the people on social media come after you. Van Jones has been exceedingly critical of President Trump. He's been that guy. And it just so happens that he goes, hey, you know what? There's a couple of things that I think that he's done really well. And he is getting just excoriated for it. People say, how could you possibly hold that position? I have much more respect for independent thinkers that I disagree with who are willing to say that they see the gray space between two ideological positions. I have much more respect for that person than the person who's going to be party line every time. And in this case, I have a sincere amount of respect for Van Jones for going out and saying, hey, you know, he's done a lot for the black community, more than any other president. Amazing statement. That is truly an amazing statement for him to make. And, you know, the article goes on to say that says, despite Jones being extremely critical of Trump for years on nearly every single subject, leftists were enraged that he gave Trump credit. And again, leftists. Always comes back down to this idea of there are these leftists out there that don't like it if you don't have the right thoughts, and they hate you if you have the wrong opinions. And we need to get away from that. I think everybody's just got to get away from that as soon as possible. And moving on in the Fastest 15, Matthew McConaughey was on the Joe Rogan Experience. He was talking about what it was like to be a Christian in Hollywood. And here's a clip where he was talking about, he says that he's watched people he's prayed with sit on their hands. Really interesting piece of audio here.
I don't know. I haven't had difficulties. I have had, and I won't throw any people under the bus, but I have had moments where I was on stage receiving an award in front of my peers in Hollywood. And there were people in the crowd that I have prayed with before dinners many times. And when I thank God, I saw some of those people go to clap, but then notice that, well, it's going to be a bad thing on my resume, and then sit back on their hands.
Oh, wow.
And I've seen people read the room and go, whoa, that wouldn't bode well for me in the future.
Mm.
If for getting a job or getting votes or what have you.
Yeah.
I have seen that. I've witnessed that. I don't judge him for it. I just wish, you know, that it seems like a silly argument.
I think that the Hollywood elite have a hard time with Matthew McConaughey because he seems like such a nice guy. And he tackles subjects in movies that they like. When he was in the Dallas Buyers Club, he plays a gentleman who contracts AIDS and then works with gay men who have AIDS in order to get them the medication that they need. And he played as a very troubled figure. And he won the Oscar for that. And I just want to play you this audio really quick so we can relive that moment together when he gets up there and he just totally causes all of Hollywood to short circuit. Here's what that sounded like.
Got three things to my account that I need each day. One of them is something to look up to, another is something to look forward to, and another is someone to chase. Now, first off, I want to thank God, because that's who I look up to. He's graced my life with opportunities that I know are not of my hand or any other human hand. He has shown me that it's a scientific fact that gratitude reciprocates. In the words of the late Charlie Lawton, who said, when you got God, you got a friend, and that friend is you.
Can you, I mean, what a nice, nice speech. What a lovely demonstration of his faith and how he feels about the world. And what a sincere expression of that. And Twitter hated him for it. How dare he? How dare he go up on stage and talk about how much his faith means to him? How dare he do that? People do this thing often, particularly people on the left. No offense to all my liberal friends, but they do this thing often where they discredit religion and they say it's not important, it doesn't matter, it's superstition. They kind of they demean it. And religion means a tremendous amount to people. Again, as a non-religious person, how is it that I can have a tremendous amount of respect for my friends who are deeply religious? And even though I may disagree with them, when they ask me to pray with them, I'll do that. And when they ask me to come over for dinner, I'll do that. And how is it that I can do that and think that that's totally valid for them and not try to take anything away from it? Not say that it's superstition and that it's something from 4,000 years ago and we need to totally get rid of it, this kind of Christopher Hitchens approach to religion, that it means something to people. It brings value to people's lives. Why would you want to take that away from people? Why would you want to shame people into losing something that brings them so much joy in their own lives? This is another clip right here. McConaughey says that he told Joe Rogan that Hollywood has gone too far left. Here's what that sounded like.
Some people in our industry, not all of them, but there's some that go to the left so far as our friend Jordan Peterson, who's back, saw his video being back, that go to the illiberal left side so far that is so condescending and patronizing to 50% of the world that need the empathy that the liberal side gives and should give. To throw somebody's, illegitimize them because they say they are a believer, it's just so arrogant and in some ways hypocritical to me. So I haven't run into, you know, I haven't headbutted trouble on that, but I've always, you look, my career, I've pretty much gone my own path, and by hook or by crook, just trying to figure a way out into what I was doing. And I haven't measured or noticed where it has harmed or gotten in my way of what I wanted to achieve. in Hollywood.
Notice that he says the far left, and I really appreciate him making that distinction, because I think too often we get locked into this all leftists bad kind of thing, right? We get locked into this, oh, if I hear the word leftist, then I have to go boo. There are people who we would consider to be quote unquote leftists who are really just liberals, really just people who are Democrats who, you know, are for pension plans and they like unions and they want more taxation on your property. Those are the people that you can kind of debate with, right? Statistics show that something like 60% of the population in the United States consider themselves to be moderate. But 30% of those people, we would call them leftists, right? Because they want a better healthcare plan and boo. And he makes the distinction. He says the far left. And I think I wish if I could convey this to my other pundits, when we talk about leftism and we talk about, you know, extreme socialism, we talk about extreme communism, we talk about extreme anarchy, that we make that distinction, because that's such a minority. In the same way that it's such a minority to have people on the extreme far right, people who are willing to commit violence on either sides, extreme far left or extreme far right, that it is unfair of anybody to try to loop people in to the group just because they hold similar affiliations. In the same way that I was just talking about with religion, that you have people on the left who are trying to say, oh man, these religious figures, they're so terrible, they're so awful, they're so bigoted. How could they cling to that? How could they be a part of that? Some people are just moderately religious. My mom, as an example, is a moderately religious woman. Goes to church on a Sunday, goes to Bible study on a Wednesday. It's really about it. She has a birthday cake for her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on Christmas, and that's about it. Prays every night, right? Is my mom somehow evil? Is she, is my mom, who's 5'2", who's a little deaf lady who goes to deaf Bible study, is she a horrible, awful woman that the crazy leftists need to destroy? I don't think so. So,
oh my gosh,
I appreciate,
she sounds awesome.
I know.
She sounds adorable.
Yeah, she is. She's very sweet. She's a very sweet little lady. We got to take a quick break. I'm Jack Stein. I'm filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. You want to check out more of my content? YouTube is the Human Genius is the YouTube channel. Again, Human Genius, two separate words. See my beautiful face. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Going to be talking about a dad who claims his son was threatened by. We'll figure that out. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Mr. Dory Monson this afternoon. I was reading this article about middle school student who was threatened with jail for missing his online Zoom classes. If you can believe that. So now we're at a point where, now this is a topic that is very important to me, because I think that the way that we get away from all this heated rhetoric, the way that we get away from all this violence in politics, the way that we get away from all this partisan politics, is we treat our kids well, we raise kids well, we educate children better than our public school systems have been doing, and we make them into little super adults who, by the time they're 18, can be independent thinkers and can manage their emotions, right? Kids who realize that they deserve to be treated with respect and to be respectful to others. That'd be a great world to live in. But when I see stuff like this, when I read I'll just read you part of the article. It says, Mark Mastroff said his family started recently received a letter from his son's middle school after his seventh grade son reportedly missed. Yeah.
We do have audio, the story.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. I can barely read, so let's
KVU.
Do that.
Here you go.
I mean, this is our fourth child in this school, and out of the blue, we get a letter.
Lafayette parent Mark Mastroff says he was stunned when the family received a letter threatening his seventh grade son with arrest for missing exactly three 30-minute Zoom sessions, unexcused absences.
He can become a truant of the state, and he could be arrested. I said, are you going to come arrest my son at my home or try and fine me for not getting into his Zoom class on time, perfect, every day?
Like his classmates at Stanley Middle School, Merrick Mastroff spends up to 7 hours a day attending virtual school via Zoom. The letter from a Stanley administrator lists the three periods Merrick missed and says when a student is absent without a valid excuse, the student is considered truant according to California law. And down below, the pupil may be subject to arrest. The principal here at Stanley Middle School told us the letter is a result of new state guidelines this fall, Senate Bill 98, which requires districts to keep a closer eye on student attendance. Reached by phone, Stanley Principal Betsy Belmont told us the letter is part of our responsibility to the state for our student attendance review boards. As always, the schools have a responsibility to ensure students are engaged and learning. Mastroff told us he's heard from other Lafayette parents who received similar letters, and he's writing to lawmakers urging a change in the law.
Obviously, we're in a pandemic, and Governor Newsom's trying to manage it, but if the state of California is really going to spend a lot of time focusing on arresting 12-year-old children for missing 90 minutes of school in 10 months, it's ridiculous.
Yes. Yes, it is. Welcome to California, where we arrest your kids for missing 90 minutes of school, the Golden State, ladies and gentlemen. I am of the opinion that you should not be arresting kids under the age of 18 for anything outside of assault or vandalism, right? There is no reason to arrest a child for shoplifting, truancy, any of that kind of stuff. To put them into the judicial system at that point is absolutely obscene. Obviously, if a kid commits a violent murder or if a kid conspires to hurt somebody, there are exceptions to this, right? But as far as punishing a child for missing 90 minutes of school, being threatened with arrest, that is weirdly totalitarian. That is so over the ledge of what anybody would consider to be appropriate in any way, shape, or form. But you know that there is some bureaucrat way up in Sacramento who's thinking to themselves, hey, you know what we should do? Got a lot of truancies in the state of California. Maybe we should just threaten them with arrest. Maybe that'll get them to go to school. That'll really teach those kids. What are you teaching kids by arresting them for being truant? Just sincerely, could anybody think, other than instilling fear and shame and humiliation into their already broken lives, you're going to arrest a child for missing 90 minutes of school? I don't believe the response, by the way, from the bureaucrat, whoever that was. And as a parent, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I would probably end up in jail. If somebody came to arrest my kid, I don't have one, but none that I know of. But let's just say that the police came to arrest my non-existent child. I would not let them. That is not a thing that person gets to do whatsoever for missing 90 minutes of school. So then Daddy Jay and Baby Jay both end up in prison together, I guess. But that is such an overreach of what the state should be able to do in your own life. I don't know why anybody still lives here. I don't know why I still live here. Because in accordance with all that stuff, and in addition to it, there's been new rules that Governor Gavin Newsom has put out as to what we can and cannot do on Thanksgiving. This includes the statement also said, released this whole thing about what we can and can't do. Statement says, gatherings that include more than three households are prohibited. This includes everyone present, including hosts and guests. So you're limited to only two households. Participating in multiple gatherings with different households or groups is strongly discouraged. All gatherings must be held outside. Attendees may go inside to use restrooms as long as the restrooms are frequently sanitized. Gatherings may occur in outdoor spaces that are covered by umbrellas. Thank you very much, Governor Newsom. Thank you very much, sir, for this. It's just absolutely ludicrous. Moreover, how is anybody going to enforce this? How is anybody realistically going to enforce this? Are we going to descend into this kind of like North Korea esque state where people in vans drive around with high-powered microphones picking up the conversations that you're having with your significant other about whether or not her mother-in-law should be invited over, which she's not this year, Sarah. So point being, why this extreme measure? Why put this out at all? Other than to show what this tells me is that Governor Newsom actually doesn't really know what's going on. He doesn't really have a plan for COVID-19. He doesn't actually know which scientists to turn to. He doesn't know which scientists to believe. So someone comes up to him and says, hey, why don't we just put a lot of restrictions on Thanksgiving? And he says, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, let's do that. Let's just try that out. I'm getting really tired of the let's try this out mantra that's going on in states like California and Oregon and Washington and New York. It's getting really frustrating to me to see it unfold because we see that it just doesn't work. It doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was talking on the phone to my friend Billy Sunshine, walking down the street. I see a group of Brazilians, and they're having a Brazilian barbecue in front. I know it's very specific, but it's worth mentioning, a group of Brazilians, and they're having a Brazilian barbecue in front of the house, and they're dancing, and they're singing, and they're playing drums, and they're cooking meat. And some of them are wearing masks, some of them are not. There's about 30 of them. They're in clear violation of the law. And you know what I did? I minded my own business, and I kept walking. I minded my, because if that's what they want to do, they should be able to do it. It's not my business to dial the NARC line that we have where I live, where I dial a special number and inform on those people. It's just not my business whatsoever. I left them alone. So this idea that Newsom is going to try to throw this out there and hope that people obey, hope that people listen to that kind of stuff. Again, also, singing, chanting, and shouting are strongly discouraged. But if they occur, the following rules and recommendations apply. All people who are singing or chanting should wear a face covering at all times while singing and chanting, including anyone who is leading a song or chant. Great. Great. Phenomenal. So we're all going to be 6 feet apart from each other. We're all going to be ranting and raving and singing and trying to make what point? What exactly is the end? Is that somehow going to prevent people from getting COVID-19? I mean, maybe, but it is ridiculous to no end. And I think it just shows how much these people plan on you just kind of falling into line. I mean, California is a state of 30 plus million people. They're just going to expect us all to just kind of fall into line and obey these rules. I mean, will I be doing that? I don't know. That's up to Sarah. She makes all the rules in my household. But point being is that this kind of thing is really getting tiresome, particularly during the age of COVID-19. We got to take a quick break. I'm Jack Stein. I'm filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. You want to check out my YouTube channel? You get to see my big, beautiful face. Human genius, two words, brain logo, easy to find, easy to search. Again, I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. Take a quick break. When we get back, more news from Governor Jay Inslee talking about how $40 million in federal funds will be distributed, and also some additional information about Santa Claus this year. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. 1:48 this afternoon. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. I was thinking about, I skipped over a story that I really wanted to touch on, follow-up story to last week. On Friday, we said Christmas was canceled, no Santa pictures, but apparently over 100 Santas signed on for an early vaccine trial to try to save kids being able to go and have their pictures taken with Santa, yearly tradition. I did it as a child. I was always terrified, but my mom insisted that I do it. But these guys decided that they were going to go and they were going to get the vaccine trial test so that some kids could have pictures with Santa, or they could go to hospitals for the kids who are in the hospital, as they do every year. This means a lot to these guys to be able to do that for children. You ever talk to anybody who's a mall Santa or someone who is a volunteer, it means a tremendous amount to them to bring children joy and laughter and fear in the case of Jack Stein. So they were denied that. They said that they weren't going to be able to do that. And over 100 of them had agreed to participate in the plan with the anticipation they would receive COVID-19 vaccines before Thanksgiving. And then they said no. They were told, no, you can't do that. So it reminds me that as far as COVID-19 goes, people are so desperate, I guess, for an answer. People are so desperate for some kind of relief now. Maybe it's because we're the now generation. We want everything now. And people are so concerned with, well, how is it being handled? And what's this governor doing versus what that governor is doing? And it's the red states have surges. No, the blue states have surges. And when I look at all the information that's out there, just as an impartial observer, I see states that have opened back up again, still have some masks, still have some social distancing. I see those states doing pretty well. A couple of hot spots here and there, but for the most part, states doing pretty well. I see states with lockdowns, not so much. I see people pretty miserable. I see people doing not well at all. In fact, in the little town that I live in, homelessness has increased by 25%. Story just came out a couple days ago. Number went up by 25%. Couldn't figure out why. People aren't coming into the town. People aren't No, it's people who used to live in the town, people who used to have homes. These aren't transients. These are people who actually used to live in the area who are now homeless. They lost their jobs, couldn't go to work, and that's that. So the COVID-19 thing, I don't think it should be that hard. I think that maybe we're we're thinking that we're like back on the frontier on the plains and someone's come down with rickets or cholera. And what are we going to do? We've got a rickets outbreak. Oh, my God. But we live in the richest country in the world. We live in one of the most advanced countries in the world. We have some of the best healthcare in the world. So what's everybody losing their minds over? Well, if I watch any kind of mainstream media, I am told that at any point in time, I will get COVID-19 and I will die from it. It's like I'm living in a totally different world than a lot of the people who operate in mainstream media. It's to them, it's so real. I watched a clip of Trevor Noah the other day, who's been doing his late night show in quotation marks from his apartment for 6 or 7 months. His hair is all grown out. He looks terrible. He's not taking care of himself, but he still does his show, if you want to call it that. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, man, first and foremost, you can check out my YouTube channel, Human Genius, and you can see that I've got a multi-million-dollar studio, which is great. But you could model yours after mine and make it look somewhat professional. You just don't need to do it in your living room. But second of all, the fear around this whole we have to somehow hide somewhere in order to get rid of or to get away from COVID-19 is ridiculous. And I really appreciate President Trump pointing out that he can't go hide in a basement for the next year and a half. Americans can't go hide in a basement for the next year and a half. Best you can do is try to live with it. And then what did Joe Biden say? He comes back and he says, you're going to learn to die with it. You remember that, Nicole? Do you remember?
I do. Does this Santa, back to the Santa thing, but is it not a miracle on 34th Street all over again? I believe that Christmas will win. By December, I mean, Christmas will win, but it is this, we're being told, I don't know, nothing makes sense about this whole thing. Nothing lines up. Nothing makes sense. It doesn't make sense who the virus infects and who it doesn't. Sometimes it's a kid. Sometimes I know older people that have been in the room with somebody that tested positive and nobody else got it. Like, it doesn't make sense. We're still learning. I get it. But, we all have to get back to our lives because people are going crazy.
So what happened to the whole American spirit of, this is a difficult thing and we'll move forward and we'll put our head
come
down.
Come together.
Come together. And we'll all, some of us care a lot about masks. Like me, I'm a mask guy. I wear a mask. I got a couple of them. I wash them. I take care of them. It's because I have people in my life who are older and who need that kind of protection. I'm happy to do it. Mm-hmm. But there's this thing where it's like, well, I'm not doing enough because I think that kids should be able to go back to school and people should be able to go back to work. And I want everyone to suffer and die. When did common sense like that become I'm the worst person in the world for holding that position? Like if I say that amongst my liberal friends, they clutch their pearls and they spill their martinis and they go, oh, Jack, how dare you?
Well, I don't really get why it's a liberal versus conservative thing. That's what I don't get. I don't understand where it became or why it became so so divisive like that by politics. I mean, I know this is a unique election year, but I don't know. Nothing about it makes sense.
It doesn't make sense to anybody. And I think that the people who are on that opinion, who think that we should lock everything down, they are the people who are trying to make sense of something that is inherently very chaotic. So what makes sense if there's chaos out in the world, like a virus? Well, you lock everybody down and hope for the best. Right? Tornadoes come in, we go into the basement, and we hope for the best. That makes sense to those kinds of people. But if you view it how maybe other people have been viewing it, and you say, well, there's all this data that keeps coming out. We keep learning more and more things about it. Maybe we can adjust our policies accordingly. I happen to be one of those guys.
I think it's also a big negative thing, and they want something positive coming from it, like getting Trump out of office or something. I think that's where, a lot of little things like that have added up. And I mean, I don't know. I just can't wait until it's all over.
I hear you. I'm Jack Stein. I'm filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be getting into Mr. Jay Inslee's plan, his $40 million plan for federal funding. Be right back.